We're here in conversation with Jessica Coville about her poem, Cross.
Jessica, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about the epigraph to begin with.
Yeah, the epigraph actually comes from the same piece that really was the inspiration for the poem in the first place, and that's A Piece of the Wall by Teju Cole, and it's a journalistic piece. He conducted interviews with people who were at the wall, and in particular, interviews with a group that provides water for people who are trekking through the desert, or people who get turned away, and then also puts crosses where they either find a body that is unknown, or they know that someone is missing but they can't find the body. So this idea of the cross was so apparent in the piece already. And then when I realized that the poem, which I thought was pretty rooted in migration, especially across the U.S.-Mexico border, I realized that that maybe is not as communicated in the poem itself. So I then went back to a piece of the wall and found this as a framing device.
Yes, it makes for a very demanding image in a way, because it asks us not only where those bodies fall, but also where we stand in relation to the wall. And as citizens in the U.S., whether we want to or not, we're implicated in the throwing of coins of our taxes, right? And so I think that makes a really powerful point in terms of pulling your readers in to think about their own position in relation to her body. Which is not to assume that that's always the position of a U.S. taxpayer, but that it kind of draws attention to that positionality.
I want to read a question that's come up in a couple of our poems, and that is the question of the maybe. So here you have, you know, maybe she cried out in a loud voice or a feeble one, and then the next stanza, the journey might have taken 3 days. Can you talk a little bit about these questions?
Yeah, I think the uncertainty, both in when you're starting the journey, I mean, I should say in part this poem is also inspired by this really powerful spoken word poem that's on YouTube, and it's At the Wall, U.S.-Mexico Border 2020, so they're kind of imagining what it will be like when the wall goes up, and how that exacerbates what's already already a really dangerous and almost impossible venture for people. So crossing the desert, when people start out, they don't know if they'll make it, and they don't know if their water will last them the time it will take to cross. And a lot of people get turned away at the border and still try like 3 or 4 times. But then there's the other side of it too. How do you grieve for a person that you don't know is actually gone or not? How do you grieve when you don't have the body? So there's this uncertainty. So the maybe and the should have kind of are coming from people, loved ones who are, you know, waiting to hear back.
Yeah, that line you have, the stretch of angry desert is itself a cross, speaks so much to something that a book we read in the migration working group, The Land of Open Graves, also really gets at by Jason de Leon, the way in which even without a physical wall, the environment of the desert in many ways has been weaponized precisely by the risk that it constitutes to cross, and particularly dehydration, something that comes up in Nicole's poem as well, and in the irony of Eva talking about sustenance that also can come. The one of the metaphors that you sustain throughout this is evoking the Christian image of the cross, and I think that's a particularly powerful choice given how both the sanctuary movement and particular kinds of initiatives for aid and a lot of the political funding and other support for anti-immigrant policies in terms of if we look at voting patterns have both been informed by Christian discourse. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a particularly powerful choice to make. And I wonder if you'd like to talk a little bit more about the imagery.
Yeah, I think it is a really fraught one and one that goes in a lot of different directions, even within the poem.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, I think there was something powerful, or I was drawn to this idea of this woman, migrant, as, you know, savior, or as, you know, redeemer. But there's also this other side of that, too, where it's, you see that the migrant is crucified by Christian rhetoric in the U.S. So the migrant becomes the scapegoat for economic problems in the U.S. So I think that idea of someone being crucified for political gain is something that I was interested in. But also I wanted to actually just be true to a lot of the, I think, the accounts that are surrounding the this experience of cross. So the spoken word poem where they say nothing in our pockets but, you know, prayers and water.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually taking a more, my approach to the Christianity as it is in the poem is mostly in response to that and wanting to honor or do justice to that experience.
Mm-hmm. It's striking how the work of listening to the voices of migrants has informed the work that both you and Nicole have shared with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you say a little bit about who the we is in this poem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is we who betrayed her, is I think where we first comes up. And I'm definitely seeing that as sort of a generic we, but definitely one that's politicized and has become part of a national identity, right? America as being responsible for not taking care or doing active damage to migrants who are crossing the border. So, and the way that migrants are villainized in American media. So we becomes, in one sense, this kind of like abstracted pronoun, but also one that has a lot of political valence.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you so much for sharing your process and writing with us.
Thank you.